Good morning. Happy Independence Day. Before I start, I have a few announcements I want to share with you guys. I don't have slides for the first ones, but there won't be any communion today because of the small crowd. We will be pushing it for next Sunday. Also, prayer. Our brother Don's not here today, so we do have, Sister Verlene, do you still have any more copies? Okay. In case anyone didn't get the prayer list, please check in with Sister Verlene this after service. And VBS, oh, okay, I'll share that one with you. So we have prayer Sunday at 10 this morning, and Monday we will not be here. Everyone, we will be off for 4th of July. Tonight, Cubbies and Jam, along with 412, will also not be meeting as we observe the 4th of July. And our Wednesday weekly Bible study has been postponed until further notice. So just stay, we will be putting more information on that. Thursday youth group will be at 6:30 on Thursdays. If you guys know any junior hires or high schoolers, invite them, bring them out. I think even up to sixth graders can be coming still. VBS, we are still looking for volunteers. We do need help. So if you guys are interested in helping, please reach out to the office or Laura. And we have a VBS meeting this Friday at 6 here in the sanctuary. So if you guys could make it, we would like to see you guys there. We still have the meal train available if anyone wants to sign up to help with Sister Edie and Francis's dinners. Don't forget to check the GoFundMe page to help Stephen. And also, if you haven't gotten your fireworks, there's still a chance at the Vaughn's parking lot so you can help out Youth for Christ. So those are just a few announcements I wanted to give to you guys, but I want to start off with a few fun facts about 4th of July. On April 19th, 1775, during the battle at Lexington and Concord, the battle between the colonists and the British troops started what was called the American Revolution. January 2nd, 1776, the Second Constitutional Congress voted for independence from Britain. 2 days later, on the 4th of July, the final draft was made and approved, and they approved the Declaration of Independence, which was written by Thomas Jefferson and edited by John Adams, two presidents that we know. Also a fun fact that I found was that both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both passed away on 4th of July. July 8th, the Declaration of Independence was read publicly in Pennsylvania, but it was not officially signed until August 2nd, 1776. So that's just a few of the things I wanted to share with you guys, but how many of you guys know that you're free? How many of us know that we can wake up in the morning and choose to make our own coffee or go to Starbucks? We can choose to wear these shoes or those shoes. A lot of us are free to do whatever we want, right? And we have free will to make our own decisions, and sometimes even though they're not the right ones. So tonight, many of us are going to be celebrating the independence with fireworks and barbecues, and having a great time partying with friends and family, right? But I got even greater news for you, something that we should be celebrating every day. And if you want to celebrate it with fireworks, well, you got to talk to your local officials about that. But I want to let you guys know we no longer have to be slaves to sin. How many of us are in a relationship with Christ? How many of us still battle with sin? You know, sometimes when we think about it and we think, well, we're coming to Christ, some of us think it was going to be nothing but blue skies and sunflowers, you know? But the truth is that once we join Christ, you will never have to go into a battle by yourself, is what we are learning. After Satan lost his grip on you, he's after you. You do have a target on your back. And I want to talk to you guys and read from John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. And it reads, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you no longer belong, you're no longer part of the world. I choose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. But today, guys, I'm here to tell you that there is hope. And that can only be found through Jesus Christ. Today we're going into one of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of Romans, or the letter or epistle to the Romans. This letter was to the Roman church, to the church in Rome, and was written by a man named Paul. A little bit about Paul before I go further. When we first hear about Paul in the Bible, his name is Saul. And Saul was a Pharisee. A Pharisee is a religious leader who was devoted to the law of Moses and the Torah, the first couple books in the Bible. Now, Saul was from a town called Tarsus, and he wasn't happy with Jesus and his followers. So what we see is a type of persecution that Paul would use towards Christians. In Acts 7, verse 58, it reads, then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. So when Stephen was killed, stoned, Saul was there. Acts 8, verses 1 through 3 reads, and Saul approved his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devoted men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entered house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. You know, that's pretty deep. But one day, Saul was on his way to Damascus, and Saul heard a voice calling from the sky. Saul, why do you persecute me? The voice asked. And he was blinded by this real bright light and was told to go into the city and follow these directions. So, you know, he didn't know what else to do, so he went to the city. Now, there was a guy by the name of Ananias, and he was told to go see Saul on the straight street. And he went, but, you know, when God told him to go and talk to this guy, Saul, you know, think about it, you're a Christian, you got to go talk to this guy that's persecuting Christians, you know he's killed people, like, would you be afraid to go talk to him, you know? But through Christ, all is possible, guys. Acts 9:13 read, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Jesus decided to use Saul to build his kingdom. And by doing that, Saul started to follow Christ. Listen to who Saul was and how he became a new person after Christ. So if you ever thought you've done something that was so awful that you can't return to church, remember who Saul was at one point. Acts 26, 9 through 11 tells us, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I casted my vote against them, and I punished them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues, and I tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. You guys, this dude hated Christ. He tried to do everything he possibly could to go after his followers. But now, Saul was a Jewish man, and he was born as a Roman citizen. But soon after he started following Christ, something happened. There was a change. And we could also see it in his name. Saul started preaching about Jesus, and he started using his Roman name, Paul. Paul was the one on the new mission now. He wanted to share Jesus with everybody. After knowing God, Paul wanted everyone in the world to know about Jesus. Paul was stoned, he was beaten, and thrown in jail 4 times. He was even threatened with death, but Paul did not care, as long as he was able to reach somebody and talk to somebody about Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27, tells us exactly what he had said. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrifted at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. All that, but he was still willing to go through this as long as he could tell one person about Christ. On one of the mission trips to spread God's word, Paul wrote a letter to the church in Rome. Now, the Roman church was full of both Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jewish people. But at one point, the Roman emperor, Clavidus, expelled all Jews from Rome. And about 5 years later, they were able to return. But when they returned, what they found was the church was really divided. The Jewish customs were changed, and many were not happy with it. There was debates on the Sabbath. They were upset about circumcision, and they really had different views on how to even follow Christ. This man, Paul, was no longer a slave to sin. He found a new master, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. So today I want to ask you guys to let's open our Bibles to chapter 6 in Romans. And while you're doing that, I just want to ask you guys, was it easy to find a different seat in the church today? You know, we ask you guys to not sit in your usual seats. So if you follow the directions today, hopefully you are in a different part of the sanctuary, and I'll let you know the AC is colder in the front if you guys want to know that. But anyways, how many of us found it hard to find a different seating spot? Honestly, it is hard sometimes. You know, we get so comfortable in something we're doing that it's hard to give it up. You know, my seat's already molded and, you know, it's perfect for me. Like, so why would I move? But we've heard stories, and I've even heard stories from different churches where someone that wasn't from that church showed up one day, took a seat, only to be told that, hey, you kind of have to move because that's my seat. You know, us as Christians shouldn't be doing that. Now, did I ask you to sit in a different area because we had to? No. I did it because I wanted you to see that in life, it's not always easy to change, but sometimes it's needed, and it's what's best for us. Turn around and look at who's sitting next to you today. You know, you're in a different area, you could say hello to different people, and that's what we need to do. Get out of our comfort zone sometimes. Think about some of our old habits that we've left behind. Some are alcohol, some to drugs, pornography, gambling, the list goes on. We all have areas in our lives that we need changing. As we turn from our sin and start to live for Christ, we need to remember, Christ is our King, not sin. So today, I have 3 points I'm gonna share with you, and the title of my message is Freedom. The 3 points are, number 1, we are no longer slaves to sin. Number 2, we are dead to sin. And number 3, we are freed from sin. So before we go forward with our first point, I want to jump forward a few verses to chapter 6, verse 23. And Paul's telling us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We have all sinned, and the truth is that we deserve nothing more than death. But for point one, as we turn to chapter 6, verse 4 through 7, I'll read it real quick. It reads, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." We are free. We are free from sin. Sin can no longer hold us down. As Christ Jesus died on that cross and was buried, is the same as what we portray when we go into the baptism, showing that we have also died to our sins and have been buried with Jesus. Our old lives are dead. And as we come out of the water and start our new walk in life through Christ, through God's power, we now have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and help, and to help us when we are tempted in this world. Power that has been given only through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our old selves were ruled by sin, but with sin defeated, we put an end to our old selves. To follow Christ, we have to rely on Christ and no longer ourselves. In Luke 9:23, we are told, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me.'" By dying with Christ, we as believers are freed from sin. We have been crucified, buried with Christ, and that's what shows that we are dead to sin. We have been freed from our sin, and now we have a new master that's paid all our debt. Now it's your turn to pay that back by following him. We are to live for Christ. I'm not saying that you won't battle again, because we still have choices to make. But I'm telling you, sin is no longer your ruler. Christ is. He's with you. We can continue to ask him for help. Point number two is that we're dead to sin. In verse 8, it reads, "And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." Paul is letting them know that the flesh is weak. And even though as believers, sin can still grab a grip on you, but we need to trust God in all we do and continue to look for direction. Since we have come to Christ, what are some of the things that may have become dead to you? You know, you don't have to shout them out or anything, but just think about it. Maybe you stopped cussing. Maybe, you know, people cut drugs. Maybe it's the alcohol. Whatever it is, we have all fallen short. And that's why we are called to die to ourselves. We are to live for Christ and follow him daily. Just as we were crucified and buried with Christ in our baptism, we are also resurrected with him. Christ now lives in you, and sin can no longer force you to do anything. Remember, you are free. When we see Paul wanting the Romans to pay attention to these important facts, he wanted them to reflect and remember the truths of God and them to live by that. Paul encourages believers to consider themselves dead to sin. Yes, we may at times still sin. I tell you again that a long time ago, Pastor Tommy told me this faith walk is not a cakewalk. And it's true. But with Christ with us, we no longer are slaves, and no one can stand against us. We are also now on a new journey. And on that new journey, we desire to know God and serve his kingdom, no longer serve ourselves. So I'm going to go to my last point, 3, and it's freed from sin. Verses 12 through 14 read, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. If you were dead, but now you have a new life, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law, but instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Our lives need to reflect who Christ is. We not let sin show in our lives. So are we really free from sin? You know, I just told you guys we're free from sin, but are we really free from sin? The answer is yes. Do we have these new lives? Yes. But Paul warned us about these lives. The body is still mortal. The body is still flesh. You will be tempted. And what happens if we allow sin to hang out in our hearts? It will stay and it gets comfortable. Just because you are free from sin does not mean you will not be tempted. Paul tells them, do not offer any of your body for unrighteousness, but become tools and weapons to be used to build God's kingdom. By being under the law, we do what we want as people, what we as people believe is correct. But sometimes we don't seek guidance from God. But the truth is, we are under grace of God. Sometimes this is not earned, and this is not deserved, but it is given. Now, we started on verse 4, but let me jump back to verse 1 in the chapter 6. The Apostle Paul started this chapter with a question. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? And the answer we find in verse 14. The answer is no. Paul tells us God's grace overcomes sin. We walk away from our old sinful lives and we seek to glorify God and not ourselves in everything we do. You guys, we don't have to be the same as we were. Look back to when you first started your journey with Christ. Look how much change you've done. So today I encourage you guys to continue to look for Christ in all we do. Try to be that vessel that Christ wants us to be, that instrument he wants us to be to continue to build his kingdom. And I just want to say thank you guys and enjoy your freedom. God bless. And